You're going to find this perhaps amusing, perhaps not. I was getting ready for prep work for Michigan and Illinois on Saturday. And remember we talked to Jared Goff yesterday. Do you remember yesterday?
I remember yesterday, like it was yesterday.
Well, we talked to Jared Goff, and remember the reverse flea flicker play they ran to Sam Laporta?
Yeah.
Remember what it's called?
Boilermaker?
Yep. So in watching Illinois-Purdue, you know who ran Boilermaker last weekend?
Illinois?
Purdue.
Oh, Purdue.
Purdue ran Boilermaker.
I've seen more flea flickers in the last 2 weeks than I feel like I've seen in the last 2 years. There have been a bunch of them. And what was because they all kind of blend together. But one of them was maybe the Jets game where it bombed so significantly. It was blown up so quickly. Like they didn't have a chance to get a pass off.
Yeah.
Remember that game? It was
because Rodgers, of course, hey, stop me if you heard this before. He had no time to throw the ball.
Right.
So he literally, as soon as the flea flicker came back to him, he kind of tried to scan the field and it was like, dude, there's someone in my face and he got sacked.
Kaboom.
There was one in the NFL last week, Gator, that they almost did what you always want to do, is throw back to the running back.
The flea flicker where the running back takes the ball, flips it back to the quarterback, and then the running back goes out and you throw it to the running back.
Yes. But I think they threw it to the fullback that was ahead of him. But it was a real short pass to one of the backs, so I thought of you, Gator.
You always got to have an emergency outlet when the flea flicker doesn't work, when you don't get the safeties to bite. Got to have that emergency outlet. But there you go. Anyway, so in the one thing, in Michigan, Illinois this weekend, the one thing it feels like the Michigan season all comes down to Jack Tuttle and what Jack Tuttle may or may not be. And look, if you're a fan and you have given up, okay, that's fine. But if you're a fan that's looking to build some hope, you build it around this guy. I went back and watched a lot of his starts at Indiana. And the thing about Indiana, and it's probably true, at that time, he had Ty Freifogel and Wap Fillier. Remember those guys? Those were veteran receivers.
Good receivers.
Yeah, they had a good tight end and Peyton Hendershot. Michigan has a good tight end. They might have two good tight ends. They need these receivers to grow up quick. And
they need to find their Wap.
They need to find their Wap or their Freifogel.
I don't think they have either. But
I'm not sure that they do. But they do have Tuttle. Right? They do have a Tuttle. Because they have exactly Tuttle, but he put up some decent numbers throwing to some decent receivers. And look, he may not be the answer, but if you're Michigan, you got to build hope around the fact that he is. The other thing is the bye week, getting guys healthy and crash coursing some people. I will predict that somebody comes out of the bye week and you'll say, ooh, that guy stepped up. That guy's playing a bigger role. That guy's snap count is going up. Because that typically happens. And they have a few positions where it feels like things are up for grabs. So Illinois is an interesting team. The Altmaier kid is good. He hasn't been much of a running threat until last week when he ran all over Purdue. They're missing their top running back, who is probably out for that game. It's a winnable game, but it can go either way. And in a Michigan season that is teetering a little bit, this is one of those games that they really kind of need to get. And if they don't, who knows where this is going to go. But I wouldn't call this a rebuilding year. I wouldn't call it a reloading year. It feels to me kind of like a gap year. Unfortunately, they're going to lose some people on defense, but they need to restock the organization, if you will.
Well, there's in college football, you can do that quickly.
You can. With Michigan State, I mean, the bye week, same thing with them. You know, chance for Aiden Childs to continue to try and cut down on turnovers. I almost feel like, is the biggest story Michigan State football all the damn night games?
Well, I mean, it's a story. Hopefully it's not the biggest story. I mean, the biggest story, hopefully what we're going to be talking about on Monday is that they've righted the ship. They've corrected the issues of ball security and stupid penalties. Those are the two things that are killing Michigan State right now. Now, they wouldn't have beaten Ohio State. They would not have beaten Oregon. But they damn sure should have beaten Boston College. And you go back to last year, about this time, Michigan State played Iowa and had them beat. Harlan Barnett was coaching. It was a night game. Michigan State had it, and then they didn't have it. They screwed up. They made some dumb mistakes down to the end and lost that game. It was a heartbreaker. It ended up being a backbreaker because it just downward spiral after that point. Michigan State was horrible. Different energy here. Hopefully with the night game at home, maybe it makes a difference.
The Hawkeyes are announced this week that their starting left guard is out. They start two and sometimes three tight ends. One of their tight ends is out, although Luke Lachey, their best tight end, is in. They are getting a player back, and I just think this is classic. They're getting their fullback back. Do you know what their fullback's name is?
I do not, Doug. Tell me.
Hayden Large.
Large, huh?
Yep. And I'm like, that is on brand. They're getting Hayden Large back, a 6'5", 250-pound fullback out of Hudsonville, Michigan. Hayden Large. Perfect name. Feedback coming in on the Lions. Joe writes in, the Lions are not trading for Hassan Reddick. Trading for him means giving him a long-term extension. It's not happening, and he won't play without a huge contract extension. Joe, that is where you and I disagree. I think it's more likely that Reddick and his agent, Drew Rosenhaus, will agree to go to one place and one place only, Detroit, because he can win a championship. I think the Lions can offer what the Jets want, which is draft capital, but not high draft capital. They have second-round pick in 2026, I think, as high as they would go. And I guess that's reasonable draft capital, but it's 2 years down the road. I think it's more likely that Camp Reddick will agree to play out the year, stop getting fined, start making some money again, and build up his resume for an offseason where he can be a free agent. I think it's more likely that he will do that than the Browns will budge on Garrett or the Raiders will budge on Crosby.
I would agree with you. I think it's more likely that that happens than those other scenarios. I just don't think it's likely that Hassan Reddick is going to go somewhere unless he's guaranteed that they're going to give him an extension.
That text is in response to my prediction that I think the only big trade that is possible is Reddick to Detroit. But it's predicated on, yeah, him saying, all right, I want out of New York. It's not happening here. And I'm going to go to a team that basically really needs me and I can become a key cog and then winning a Super Bowl, then I go cash.